Well, today is Pentecost Sunday, and today is 50 days if we start on Easter Sunday, and we count 50 days from there, we arrive at today, and it is known as Pentecost Sunday, and Pentecost is one of the feasts in the Old Testament, and the name of that feast in Hebrew is, they call it the Feast of Weeks, and it's also called Shavuot, S-H-A-V-U-O-T, Shavuot, and is the Feast of Weeks. And in Leviticus 23, it tells us there of the seven feasts of the Lord, are mentioned there. And of those seven feasts of the Lord, three of those feasts, they're like key feasts, they're important feasts, they're principal feasts. And on the occasion of three of those seven feasts, all the Jews, they had to come, the males had to come, and they had to leave their town or their village, and they had to come to Jerusalem, and they had to present themselves before the Lord in the celebration of the feast in Jerusalem. And so the three main feasts, the Feast of Passover, and then the Feast of Shavuot, which is the Feast of Pentecost, and then the Feast of Tabernacles. And on those three feasts, everyone, they had to come to Jerusalem and to celebrate there in Jerusalem. Now, in chapter 23 of Leviticus, it mentions not just three feasts, it mentions seven feasts. And the fourth one is Shavuot, with the Feast of Pentecost. And we read about that in Leviticus 23 and beginning in verse 15. And it says, "You shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering. Seven Sabbaths shall be complete." Seven Sabbaths shall be complete. So it speaks there, the morrow after the Sabbath. Sabbath was a Saturday, that's a Sunday. And from that day, they were to count seven Sabbaths. Seven times seven is 49, 7 weeks. And seven Sabbaths shall be complete. And even the morrow after the seventh Sabbath, shall ye number 50 days. All right, 7 weeks, 49 days, one more day, the morrow after the Sabbath, the 50th day. And ye shall offer a new meal offering unto the Lord. And ye shall bring out of your habitations two wave loaves of 2/10 deals, and they shall be of fine flour, and they shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. And you shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, and 1 young bullock and 2 rams, and they shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord, with their meat offering and their drink offerings, even an offering made by fire of sweet savour unto the Lord. And then ye shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, and 2 lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall wave them in the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord with the 2 lambs. And they shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And ye shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it may be a holy convocation unto you. You shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout all your generations. And so this was a very important celebration. It was one of the principal feasts of the Lord. And the Jews were to celebrate these feasts when they got into the promised land. And in the Old Testament, the Jews called the feast, or the festival of Shavuot, They call it the Feast of Weeks because of those seven weeks. And Shavuot is one of those three pilgrim feasts. The Jewish people were, it was not a voluntary thing. It was commanded of the Lord. It was a commandment that everybody throughout the whole nation had to, all the males had to come to Jerusalem and celebrate that Feast of Passover, Feast of Shavuot, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And they were commanded them to observe them in Jerusalem. And this Feast of Pentecost, it was just for one day. It was a one-day feast. And so there was Passover, that was in the first month of the year, 14th day of the first month. And that was immediately followed by unleavened bread for Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days. And also there was the Feast of First Fruits. And they were those first three feasts, they were together and they were all in the first month of the Hebrew year. And then, you know, some 50 days after, at the beginning of the third month, that was the Feast of Shavuot. Shavuot, the Feast of Pentecost. And then there was a gap of about 4 months. And then in the seventh month of the Jewish year, there was another major feast. And that was the Feast of Tabernacles. And in fact, there were three feasts that went together in the first month of the year, Passover, Pentecost, and Passover, Unleavened Bread, and First Fruits. They went together in the first month. And then there was the third month when there was the Feast of Shavuot, of Pentecost. And then there was a four-month gap. And then there were the final three feasts, which were the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement. And then finally, the climactic one was the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles. And each of those three major feasts, Passover, Shavuot, and Tabernacles, they were all, you know, crucial, key, main feasts that they were commanded to celebrate. And two of those three feasts have already been fulfilled. We know that the Passover and the shedding of the blood of the lamb on Passover, when they had to leave Egypt and God gave instructions to Moses to kill the lamb and to shed the blood, put the blood on the doorpost and the lintels of their homes, and God protected them and they were saved. And so we know that the Passover feast, it was pointing to Jesus, who became the Passover lamb. And that's why Jesus said, I am the John the Baptist. He pointed to Jesus. And John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And so a Jew knew that when they heard those words, that Jesus, he had come to die. He was the Lamb. And the blood of the lamb was killed. His blood was shed. And so that Feast of Passover, it is fulfilled when Jesus died upon the cross, when he became the Passover lamb. His blood was shed. And so it was the feast in the Old Testament. It was fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it relates to us. It is applicable to us. And especially when we have the experience of being saved, of being converted, of being born again, of becoming a child of God, coming into the kingdom of God. We're saved not by our own works, not by our own goodness, not by anything we do, but because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we participate spiritually in that Feast of Passover when we're born again, when the blood of Jesus cleanses us from every sin, and we know that Christ is in our hearts, and he comes and forgives us. And so that was fulfilled in Christ. And the second one, which we're looking at this morning, is the Feast of Shavuot. And Shavuot, or Pentecost, that was about 50 days afterwards. It was at the beginning of the third month of the Jewish year. And that was called the Feast of Shavuot, the Feast of Pentecost. And we know that that feast also has been fulfilled. And we know it was fulfilled in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came, the Holy Spirit was poured out, they began to speak in other tongues and glorify God. And it was a tremendous time. We're very familiar from Acts chapter 2, and we see there the fulfillment of that second major feast, Shavuot, the Feast of Pentecost. And so that also is applicable to each of our lives, because it is speaking the fulfillment of the Feast of Pentecost, as far as it relates to you and I, is when we come into that experience, the experience of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, with that initial sign or evidence of speaking in other tongues. And this is an important step if we're going to move on in God, if we're going to progress in our journey, if we're going to come to Zion, if we're going to go on to all that God has. It is a very important step, and the Feast of Pentecost. And then, of course, there is the last final feast, and that is called the Feast of Tabernacles, the third major feast in Leviticus 20:23. And that feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, it has not yet been fulfilled. But so Passover has been fulfilled when Jesus died on the cross. Pentecost, Shavuot, has been fulfilled. And that was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. But the final feast, Tabernacles, has not yet been fulfilled. But it speaks, I believe we're getting very close to the fulfillment of that feast. We're right on the verge of it. And it speaks of the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the last days, and a great harvest that is coming in, and a great harvest, you know, not of pomegranates and figs and grapes and olives, but a great harvest of souls being swept into the kingdom of God. So this feast of Shavuot, the Feast of Pentecost, there are several different names for it. One of the names is, it's called the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Weeks. And in Exodus, in chapter 34, in verse 22, Exodus 34 and verse 22, it tells us there, "And thou shalt observe the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Weeks, of the first fruits of wheat harvest, and the Feast of Ingathering." Feast of Ingathering, that's another name for the Feast of Tabernacles, at the year's end. And so it's speaking there of Shavuot, of Pentecost, as the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Weeks. And we also read about it in Deuteronomy in verse 16. Deuteronomy 16. And in verse 10, it tells us there, "And thou shalt keep the Feast of Weeks unto the Lord thy God, with a tribute of a freewill offering of thine hand, which thou shalt give unto the Lord thy God, according as the Lord thy God hath blessed thee." In verse 11, it tells us, "And thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God." The Feast of Shavuot, it was a time of rejoicing. It was a time of great joy. Everyone had great joy. And it says, and everyone was included in this feast. This feast was not just for some special people. It was for everyone. And it was for everyone to rejoice. And in verse 11, "Thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God, your son, your daughter, your maidservant, your manservant, your maidservant, the Levite that is within thy gates, even the stranger and the fatherless and the widow that are among you in the place which the Lord thy God has chosen to place his name. Everyone, they were all included and all were called to rejoice. They were called to rejoice and to remember that they'd come out of slavery. They'd come out of slavery. They were bondmen, you know, in Egypt. And so they were coming out to rejoice. The Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Shavuot, it's associated with the number 50. And that number 50, it speaks of deliverance. It speaks of release. It speaks of, you know, great joy, release, liberty, and deliverance. And so we see that everyone was to rejoice. They were to rejoice before the Lord. And the Feast of Pentecost, it's to be a time, you know, of joy, knowing the joy of the Lord, having a release of God's joy, experiencing God's joy bubbling up. And Nehemiah says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And for that Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Weeks, as we saw in Leviticus 23, they began counting the day after the Sabbath, and it was the Sabbath immediately that follows the Feast of Passover. And so the day after the Sabbath was a Sunday. We know that Jesus, Resurrection Sunday, Jesus rose from the dead, and that's the previous feast is the Feast of the Sheaf of First Fruits. That's the third feast, the third feast of the seven. And that speaks of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And so from the previous feast, the Feast of the Sheaf of First Fruits, which speaks of Resurrection Sunday, if we add 50 days to that, we come to today, Shavuot, the day of Pentecost, which is early in the third month of the Jewish calendar. And so that's how we get the number 50. Now in Leviticus 23 and verse 15, it tells us there, and you shall count unto you, verse 16, even the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall ye number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meal offering unto the Lord. So the sheaf of first fruits that speaks of resurrection and the resurrection of Christ, from the resurrection of Christ to Pentecost is 50 days. Another name of course for the feast of Shavuot is Feast of Pentecost. It's called the Feast of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. And we know that the disciples, the 120, they'd been gathered in the upper room. Jesus had told them to wait for the promise of the Father to come. And they were to wait for that promise that the Father, the Heavenly Father, had given. And then in chapter 2 of Acts in verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. And so it's speaking there of the feast day of Pentecost, the Old Testament feast day of Pentecost, which they were still celebrating and which Jews still celebrate today. They celebrate this feast today. They're celebrating this feast at this time today in Israel. And so Pentecost, Shavuot means weeks, and then Pentecost is basically the Greek word for 50. So that's where we get the word Pentecost. And it was while the Jews were keeping the literal feast, in Acts chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 2, people had gathered not only from different parts of Israel, but Jews had gathered from other lands, surrounding nations that spoke other tongues and different languages. And they'd gathered and they'd come to Jerusalem to celebrate this feast of Pentecost. And so while they were keeping that literal feast of the Old Testament, you know, God was, in Acts 2, God was fulfilling it in reality. God was fulfilling it literally. A third name for this feast of Shavuot, or Pentecost, or weeks, is called the Feast of Harvest. And in Exodus 23 and verse 16, Exodus 23 and in verse 16, we're told there, "And the Feast of Harvest, the first fruits of thy labours, which thou hast sown in the field, and the Feast of Ingathering," or that's speaking now about the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Ingathering, which is at the end of the year. Now, it's true that in Israel, the main harvest was not at the time of Pentecost, but it was at the end of the year, and it was at the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. That was when the main harvest of the year was harvested and gathered in, and it speaks particularly about the olives were harvested, the grapes were harvested, the figs, the pomegranates, all the different, you know, summer fruits that were harvested. But nevertheless, there was also another harvest. And at the time of Pentecost, in the third month of Shavuot, there was the harvest. And at that time, and at the Feast of Harvest, which was just Feast of Pentecost, which was just one day, that was the time. It was at the beginning of the wheat harvest, and the Book of Ruth, it speaks about Ruth was gleaning in the harvest in the wheat fields. And so in Israel today, and for many Jews today, wherever they are in the world, often they read the Book of Ruth during Shavuot or during Pentecost. In fact, one of the customs is they study the law. And sometimes there'll be those who will study the law, which is the first five books of the Bible, the Torah. They'll study them all night at the night of the Shavuot Feast of Pentecost, because they remember one of the main things that the Jews do at the Feast of Pentecost is remember the Torah, because the Torah was given, the law was given, you know, on Mount Sinai. And, you know, Israel, the children of Israel, they came to Sinai in the third month, and which was the time of Shavuot. And so some strict Jews will all night, they will study the Torah on Shavuot. And, let that really become a part of them. So it is called another name for Pentecost is the Feast of Harvest, because at that time it was the time of the wheat harvest. It was the time of the wheat harvest. In the first month of the year, the first major feast, we remember, was Passover, and there was also a harvest at that time. That was a harvest of the barley. And then the second major feast, the Feast of Pentecost, in the third month, there was a harvest. It was the harvest of the wheat, which was harvested. And, of course, there's the major harvest, Tabernacles, in the seventh month, at the end of the year, when the main harvest of the year is gathered in. And we're looking to that. We're looking to the last day harvest, and a great harvest, you know, not of wheat and barley and grapes and olives, but we're looking to a great multitude, a harvest coming in to the kingdom of God. And Shavuot, Pentecost, there's also a harvest. And that harvest is, it's not the main harvest, but it's a very important harvest. It was the harvest of the wheat, And so we see with each of those major feasts, harvests are associated with us, with it. And we need to be, I believe God wants to, you know, stir our hearts afresh, because God wants us, you know, part of the purpose of this feast of Shavuot is that, as Jesus said, just before he ascended up into heaven, "Ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me." you shall be witnesses unto me. And the literal word is martyrs, martyrs, willing to lay down our life. We're to be witnesses for the Lord. And God is wanting to use us all. God is wanting to empower us. And that's the purpose of the Feast of Pentecost. One of the main purposes of that feast, as it relates to us, is that we would receive power from on high. What for? To be witnesses, to share the Lord, to share the gospel, to live a victorious Christian life. And we would have power, you know, to be witnesses for the Lord. And God wants us. You know, we're all called to share our faith. You know, some people maybe have the ministry of an evangelist, but every one of us, every believer, is called to be a witness, is called to share our faith, is called, you know, God wants to use us all in the harvest. And there's a harvest associated with Pentecost. There was the wheat harvest. And God wants to stir us afresh. And the Holy Spirit wants to come upon us, you know, in a fresh way, to stir us, to give us a burden for the lost, to give us a burden, you know, for others, to witness to people, to share our faith. And, you know, by the grace of God, you know, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. And, you know, even we haven't seen revival yet. We're looking for that fulfillment of tabernacles. But as we wait, as we move on towards it, God wants us to be reaping a harvest. And God wants us to be harvesters. God wants us to be soul winners, to be witnesses for the Lord, seeking opportunities to share something of the Lord. And that is a calling. That is a calling that is to every believer. The Bible says in Proverbs, he that wins souls is wise. And, you know, we win someone to the Lord. Maybe we pray with them and see them come to Christ. But maybe we're used of God just a step on the way. We just say, maybe invite someone to church, or we just have a word, just a quick word about the Lord, or whatever. But it can all be a step in the chain of bringing someone into an experience with Christ, into salvation. And there's a harvest. There's a harvest associated with Shavuot. And God wants us to be harvesters and to be praying. You know, the harvest, Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. Pray ye that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into the harvest field. And of course, getting people saved, that's just the beginning. Then they've got to be discipled. Then they've got to be taught. Then they've got to be instructed. Then they've got to be taught so that they can be victorious and go on and be strong in the Lord. So by the grace of God, we're all called. We're all called to be witnesses for Christ. Now in verse 17 of verse 23, there's another thing about the Feast of Shavuot. And it tells us there three times. Chapter 23 of Leviticus in verse 17, you shall bring out of your habitations two wave loaves of two tenths deals. Now those two wave loaves that spoke of the Jews and of the Gentiles. On the day of Pentecost, the focus was on Jewish believers. And or those who were Jews, 3,000 turned to the Lord on the day of Pentecost. Later on, you know, in the Acts of the Apostles, we see the revival and revival of the Apostle Paul and the Gentiles were gathered in. And the main harvest in Paul's ministry was not the Jews, but the main harvest in Paul's ministry was the Gentiles. So it was the gospel going forth, first to the Jews, then to the Gentiles, two wave loaves of two tenths deals. And that speaks of the double portion. And the church is the Israel of God. And we're called to Zion. And the Zion and those in Zion, one of the things they receive is that double portion in Hebrews chapter 12. And it says, they shall be fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They shall be baked with leaven. Now, leaven in the Word of God, it speaks about the leaven of the Pharisees you know, the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. It speaks, the word of God speaks about the leaven of sin. So leaven is not a, you know, leaven speaks basically of sin. It speaks of wrong doctrine. It speaks of hypocrisy. And, but it's associated with Pentecost. But we must remember that this is an experience. The experience that we receive of the baptism of the Spirit is something which is early in our Christian life, or it should be. In the New Testament, it happened early in their Christian life. In the case of Cornelius, it happened at the same time as salvation. So as we study the book of Acts, we see many times people were saved, and very shortly afterwards, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. And so when we see leaven associated with this feast of Shavuot, leaven speaks of sin. In other words, just because a person is filled with the Holy Spirit and speaks in tongues, does that mean he's holy? No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Pentecost and the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not synonymous with holiness. Just because, you know, some people think, well, if they've been saved and if they've been baptized in water and filled with the Spirit, that, you know, that they've arrived, that they are holy, that they have everything that God has for them. No. Shavuot, Pentecost, that's the beginning of our Christian life. And in the Acts of the Apostles, Acts chapter 2, that was just like the rocket that launched the early church. And so, so holiness and the baptism of the Holy Spirit are not synonymous, because it's possible for a person to be carnal and also, you know, pray in tongues and also be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, some people think, well, the baptism of the Spirit, it was not for today. It was only in the, you know, Bible times only. And it's not relevant for us today. But even though it does not mean we're holy, it means we're just laying our foundation. We're just getting a good foundation in our Christian life. But yet, it is one, the baptism in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues is one of the greatest tools to help us and to aid us in our desire, in our quest for, you know, true holiness before the Lord. And so we want to go on. Yes, that's the goal. That's the aim. And in the Feast of the Day of Atonement, we see particularly God is dealing with sin, not in the unbeliever, but in the believer, and sin in the church. And that's where we really are today, that God is dealing with sin to purge us, to purify us. So we're going to be vessels who are ready for the Feast of Tabernacles, and we're pure, we're holy before the Lord, and because that is what we want to multiply. And if a great harvest is coming in, we want to multiply ourselves, and we want to be more and more like Jesus, because that, by the grace of God, is what we want to reproduce. Now, on the day of Pentecost too, it was the fulfillment of the promise of the Heavenly Father. The promise of the Heavenly Father. And in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, it tells us there, Acts 1 verse 4, and being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them, and these are the last words of Jesus, that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. So Jesus is speaking to them, not to go out preaching straight away. No, he was going to ascend back into heaven. But just before he ascended back into heaven, which was 40 days after his resurrection, he gave them clear instructions. Wait for the promise of the Father. Wait for the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father. What was that? That was about the Holy Spirit. That was about the day of Pentecost, and they were told to wait for that promise of the Heavenly Father. And we see that they waited. Jesus did not tell them how long they were to wait, but we know that in chapter 2 and verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the exact day of Shavuot, the feast of Pentecost, they were with one accord, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then again down in verse 33, it tells us there, therefore being by the, and this is Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has shed forth this which ye now see. You know, they saw and they heard. They saw, what did they see? They saw the fire. What did they hear? They heard speaking in other tongues. And then after Peter's preaching, they were greatly convicted of their sins. They cry out, what shall we do? Peter replies to them that they were to repent first, then they were to be baptized in water, and then, thirdly, they were to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In verse 39, Peter said, for the promise is unto you and to your children. This is the promise of the Father. This is the promise that the Father gave to Jesus. And the promise is unto you, to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And that promise we read about, it was prophesied about in Isaiah chapter 44. And in Isaiah chapter 44, it tells us about the promise of the Heavenly Father. And Isaiah is writing this, but it's written prophetically, so it's the promise of the Heavenly Father to his Son. And it says, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, Isaiah 44:3, and floods upon the dry ground. And I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed. You know, in Christ, we are the spiritual seed of Abraham. We're the spiritual seed of the Lord. And it says, I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. And this is the promise that God the Father made to his Son. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. And his seed are all those who believe and call themselves by his name. And that verse in Acts 2 and verse 39, it says, the promise is unto you and to their children and their children and their children and to all that are afar off, which means us today. That promise has come to us. And again in the book of Joel, and the prophet Joel, he's called the prophet of the Holy Spirit sometimes. And it refers to him as, and he prophesied, he spoke about the last days. In the last days I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And Peter quoted the prophecy of Joel when he preached in Acts chapter 2. And what happened on the day of Pentecost in the New Testament, that is the beginning of Joel's prophecy. That is the beginning of the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy, which was prophesied some 700-800 years before Christ came. But the true fulfillment of Joel's prophecy is at Tabernacles and speaks of the last day outpouring of the Holy Spirit and revival coming. So the baptism of the Spirit and Shavuot and Pentecost is very relevant to us, and it was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, and God wants it to be real in our life. Not only not only having the experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but by the grace of God, knowing the strength of the Holy Spirit in our life, glorifying God as we pray in other tongues, and being those who are strong in the Lord, going on for the Lord, being guided by the Holy Spirit, walking in the Holy Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit, hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, and continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. That is the application of Shavuot in our hearts and in our lives. And Isaiah, he prophesied about it. Joel, he prophesied about it. Isaiah also says in Isaiah 28 and verse 11, Isaiah 28 and verse 11, and he mentions he is prophesying about Shavuot, about Pentecost, about what God is going to do and pour out his Spirit. And it says in Isaiah 28, and it says, verse 11, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Now that was true with the Babylonians and their tongue. But it's also speaking prophetically to Acts chapter 2 and the feast of Shavuot being fulfilled. And I will speak with stammering lips and another tongue shall he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. Through the baptism of the Spirit and living in that experience, there is a rest that we have, which is not available by other means. God wants to bring us into a rest. And there is a rest in God as we pray in the Spirit, as we pray in tongues, as we go on and as we grow deeper in the things of the Spirit. And not only a rest in verse 12, it says this is a refreshing. You know, there is a refreshing. You know, sometimes we're down, we get discouraged, we difficult times, trials, testings. But in the midst of, even the midst of circumstances, even in the midst of adverse circumstances, through Shavuot, through Pentecost, through the Holy Spirit, God wants to bring us. He wants to uplift us. He wants to refresh us. He wants to just pour his Spirit over us afresh. And, you know, out of our innermost being, rivers of living water flow. And he's wanting for us to be rested, to be refreshed, refreshed. There is a rest from turmoil, from conflict. There is a rest. There is a refreshing. It can cause the weary to find rest in their souls. And it enables believers to express in another language the conflicts that are in their own hearts and minds and find release from them. And yet many believers are taught, the problem is many believers today, they're taught to refuse the very remedy that God has provided for their souls. And so, you know, the feast of Shavuot, the feast of Shavuot, you know, it is so important. And God wants us to be a people of the Spirit who are being led, being guided by the Spirit, hearing his voice. And that is the reason that the Holy Spirit came. And Jesus said in John 14 and verse 16, Jesus spoke there, He spoke of another comforter. In other words, one who's exactly like himself. And the Greek word for another, it means one who is exactly like me. The Holy Spirit, like Jesus, he had to be an equal. Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit is God. And he was just like Jesus. He was different, but just like Jesus. And the name John that Jesus uses, John 14 and verse 26, and it speaks of the comforter, the Holy Spirit. He will come. And in verse 16, I pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, another person just like me. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He is the Paracletos. He is the Spirit of truth. And Jesus said, he will dwell with you. But Jesus said, not just dwelling with us, but he will dwell within you. And the Holy Spirit indwells within us. And God is wanting to know, each of us to know the encouragement, the comfort of the Holy Spirit. He is our helper, and he wants to help us. Often we struggle and strive. We think we're all alone. But the Holy Spirit, he stands alongside us. He wants to help us to do what we cannot do in ourselves. He can help us. He can give us strength. He can give us insight. He can give us revelation. He is our helper. He is standing right beside us. An interpreter helps you to communicate in another language. The Holy Spirit, he helps us to communicate the gospel to others. He helps us to communicate God's word to others. And Jesus is saying to the disciples that just as I have been to you while I've been on earth, so the Holy Spirit will be to you when I go back to heaven. He's the Parakletos, the encourager, the one who helps us. And there were special people in the Roman army, and they were called the Parakletos. And their one job was to go alongside those soldiers, maybe in long journeys that they would face. And they'd get tired, they'd get weary, they'd get discouraged, they'd get down. And the Parakletos, this group of men, would shout, would sing to them, would cry out to them, would tell them, would remind them of victories in the past and what they have accomplished in the past. And they're going to have victory ahead. And they would be encouraged. Their spirits would be lifted up, and they would go on and see victory and victory. And so the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos, he's wanting to be very real, very special, very precious to us, to help us, to guide us, to enable us, so that, you know, what God's called us to do. And God has a specific task, a specific job, a specific ministry for each one, which we can't do in our own strength. But there is the Parakletos, the Holy Spirit, to guide us, to help us. And we saw from Isaiah, stammering lips, speaking in other tongues. And we need, in order for the Holy Spirit to enable us and to help us. I mean, we cannot fully praise and worship the Lord without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so the experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is the application of Shavuot, or the Feast of Pentecost, in our lives, is the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is clear in the book of Acts. It is speaking in other tongues. And God wants every believer to receive this. This gift of tongues as the evidence of the baptism of the Spirit, it is for every believer. And most of you who have already received this experience, God wants us to know the value of it and daily be praying in tongues, daily be speaking in tongues, daily be looking to the Holy Spirit to enable us, to help us, that we would hear his voice, that we would do his will, that we would love him, that we would serve him with all of our hearts. And that evidence on the day of Pentecost, there was three signs on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. There was an audible sign, the rushing wind. Then there was a visual sign. There were the tongues of fire. And then there was an oral sign when they spoke in other tongues. Three signs. In Acts chapter 10, when Cornelius and his family, Gentiles, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, there was just one sign. And that was speaking in tongues. And the apostle Paul writes, he says, the scripture says in Acts chapter 10, the way that they knew the Gentiles had been filled with the Holy Spirit is because they heard them speak in tongues. and magnify God. And so there was just one sign, it was tongues. Later on in Acts 19, which is 20 years after the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Paul, it was at Ephesus, he lays hands on 12 believers and he lays hands on them to receive the Holy Spirit. What happened? Then they spoke in tongues, and in that case, there were two signs. They spoke in tongues and they prophesied as well. So in Acts chapter 2, there were three signs. In Acts chapter 10, there was one sign. In Acts chapter 19, there were two signs. But there was a common one in those three, and that was speaking in other tongues. So the purpose of the baptism of the Spirit is that we would have power to live the Christian life, to be witnesses for the Lord, to hear the voice of God, to do what he's called us to do. And the evidence or the sign of being baptized in the Holy Spirit is speaking in other tongues. And as we close this morning, I believe that God just wants to renew us. He wants to refresh us. And I know most of you are filled with the Holy Spirit and have had the experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But my question is, on Shavuot, on the day of Pentecost, are you filled with the Holy Spirit right now? In Acts chapter 4, we read there was a special prayer meeting and the power of God came. And even though they were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 4, probably several months later, they were filled again with the Holy Spirit and the power of God, and the house was shaken and God stretched out his hand to heal and miracles took place and they were filled afresh with the Holy Spirit. When the Apostle Paul writes to the Ephesians in chapter 5, then he writes to them. They were a strong Pentecostal church. They'd already been baptized and had the experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but they were a strong Pentecostal church. But Paul wrote to them, he said, keep on, Ephesians 5 verse 18. And in the Greek it comes out, and keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, in the present continuous tense, keep on being filled. And I sense this morning, God wants some, you know, are down, some are discouraged, but the Parakletos, he is the Holy Spirit. He is the encourager and he is here this morning. And I believe God wants to fill some, even in a fresh way this morning with the Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage you as you go into this next week, make sure you pray in the Spirit. Talk to the Holy Spirit. He is real. He's a person. He is God. I love you, Holy Spirit. I worship you, Holy Spirit. Help me, Holy Spirit. Develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit. He wants to be your friend, your helper. Pray in tongues daily. Pray in tongues. As you do that, you'll be strengthened. As you do that, you'll magnify the Lord. As you do that, you're edifying your spirit man. You're making it strong. And by the grace of God, God's hand and blessing can be richly upon our lives. Amen.